My name is Isra Dabor. I'm actually a computer programmer, but I'm here part of this symposium as a Palestinian commentator. And please allow me to go in detail about the apartheid wall. That's because this issue is extremely important in terms that the apartheid wall is it's a clear idea. It is not something that you have to dig out and try to rethink about or see, because the effects of it are humongous. It is affecting the lives of hundreds of thousands of people in Palestine, and yet media manages to neglect the issue or probably just be too calm about it. So I'm just going to show you what it is all about and why do we actually call it an apartheid wall rather than a security fence. I'm going to talk about what the wall is, and that's through going the definition of the wall, the wall structure, the first phase of the wall that's been actually completed, the initiated second phase of the wall, the wall structure. Basically, the physical form of it is concrete lined with fences, and those fences could be electrical, trenches, roads, barbed wires, cameras, etc. It spans a width of 70 to 100 meters. The height average of it is 8 meters. Its entity is actually 350 kilometers length in the West Bank. There will be 15 villages east of the apartheid wall, and the rest of the lands is on the second wall, and that's how they're being isolated. 11,000 Palestinians will be imprisoned between the wall and Israel. You can see here in this map, basically the borders of the wall are occurring beyond the 1967 green line, meaning the green line right here, you can see this is where Israel is supposed to be. The wall is actually the black line, and all this land in between is simply lost land. It's stolen from the Palestinian people because Israel decided to build that border beyond the green line. In terms of defining what the wall is, in June of 2000, the wall had actually started being built in the West Bank, where 145 kilometers of it were completed. It was, again, beyond the defined 1967 borders, when they call them the Green Line. It is being referred to as the fence, a separation barrier, or supposedly a security fence. While really, it is a major land grab, because it's sealing the fate of occupied territories in Palestine, and that's through making it as a fence. The first phase of the wall was actually completed in April of 2000. 27 kilometers of it was done. That's barely a third of the wall. 65 communities and 200,000 people are being affected by that. The impact of the first phase alone can be seen through the damage to their networks, to the isolation of their water resources, the demolition of their homes and community infrastructure, the prevention of land access, the raising agricultural land just to build the wall, basically uprooting the trees. The second phase of the wall is imposed to start on March of 2003. That was where the phase was introduced, and it will actually isolate half of the West Bank. It will be 65 kilometers in length. Palestinians here on the other side of the wall, because again, we said it could be fences or concrete. What is the map of the wall? There is actually no official map of the wall. Israel or the military had refused to publish what the wall is going to be surrounding, where is it going to be, what's the length of it. So basically, people were able to get those maps that we've done after the destruction has already occurred. They just went and draw the map for it. Effects of the wall, you can see it nationally in Palestine and internationally by breaking the international laws. What is it nationally? It's making people landless, taking their land. It is destroying their homes, and that's to be able to build the wall, because that's basically where it's going. It's through their villages, killing their homes. It's increasing the number of refugees rapidly. It is restricting their movements. And of course, there's lots of social economic implications. There is expansion, wide expansion of the Israeli settlements, and it is basically a road to expel the Palestinians. Why is it being landless and confiscation? Again, we said 6 kilometers of it is being in the midst of the West Bank, and that's how it's stealing their land. You can see that it's actually isolating 50 wells, 50 water wells, and those cities depend on this water solely because they're farmers and that's their way of living. When those are isolated, they got no way but to either move. Israel uses 57% of the water resources, while Palestinians only use 8.2%. That keeps decreasing. The destruction and demolition is humongous because it happens along the walls path. It's near the Green Rhine. It goes right through the villages. It's raising their culture lands, uprooting their trees. It does not matter what they would do as long as that wall is being built. Refugees. The figures I'm going to show you are actually quite amazing. Because of the wall, 25 to 30% of the communities are becoming refugees. 34% of the West Bank population are refugees. And globally, 75 Palestinians are refugees. Checkpoints or roadblocks are being built along the wall, and that is restricting the Palestinians' movement badly. It is basic violation to the property, to the right of property, medical care, and education, because that process of every Palestinian moving from one area to the other, they have to go through the roadblock. And it's a process that takes hours. It's not means of minutes. If they don't have their certifications, or even if they have their permit to go into that area, they will have to stand there as long as the Israeli soldiers decide to let them through. It is controlling their movements badly, as we said, and it is denying their ability to travel, and let alone how psychologically that is affecting them. Socioeconomic implications on the society, again, is in healthcare, education, and family visits are extremely limited. The number of people in Palestine that live over less than $2 a day had rose from 600,000 people from September of 2000 to 1.2 to 1.5 million by the end of 2001. That's in barely a year. The children are all susceptible to malnutrition, violence, and trauma. Unemployment is rising humongously, of course, due to the isolation. At the same time, the Israeli settlement is expanding rapidly. It went up by 54%, whereas actually the population had also increased, the Israeli population, that is, by 90%, where it was supposed to freeze according to the Oslo 1993-2000 agreement. It is being a road to expelling them. It is a challenge to their survival. Again, like we said, their land confiscation, isolation, control of their water, the means of survival, the demolition of their homes, the restriction of their movement. Is it a security wall? According to the Israeli occupation forces, it is supposed to be a military necessity so that we stop the suicide bombers from coming to Israel. But really, the wall is not on the route of the Green Line, and that by itself makes it a violation of international law and illegal under the laws of war. It is basically a separation policy, just racist to just like the one that it was in South Africa. It is establishing a political pattern where it will be just a means of Jewish settlers. Why is it a war crime to have it, to have the wall? Because according to the Rome Statute of International Criminal Court, any extensive destruction of homes and property is a war crime. Destroying or seizing the enemy's property is also a war crime, and that's all happening for the wall. Now, to actually understand where that came from, where did the whole idea of the wall arise, and when, as a matter of fact, we need to look at the history of it. So in historical context, to discuss it, there are two forms we want to look at. There is the political Zionism school, and there is the two-state solution that brings up the whole idea of the wall. Basically, political Zionism is saying it will be a good idea to establish a Jewish state in the midst of Palestine. And people who will be against that idea are be considered anti-Zionist and should be in no way considered anti-Jewish. The two-state solution basically says we'll just segregate the populations from the West Bank, the Palestinians, rather than the one from Israel. So that political Zionism school proves it, that the wall is apartheid due to this. It is accurate that it is being put there by a government, the government of the State of Israel, which is informed by apartheid values of segregation and separation, known as political Zionism. And that's regulated by the Acts of Parliament, the Knesset. Why is it similar to the apartheid wall in Africa? basically in Africa. The Dutch Reformed Church called it to be anti-apartheid if it's anti-Christian, pro-devil, and pro-communist, while in Israel, to be anti-Zionist, they call it anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic, pro-Nazi. Well, the 1994 apartheid legal system was done in South Africa. We do hope it doesn't take that long in Israel. At the same time, it is not as similar to the African apartheid simply because there was no UN resolution saying that in South Africa it should be separated into a white state and a non-white state, while yet in Palestine they asked it to be an Israeli state and a Palestinian state. The Israeli violations of the UN General Assembly had been covered by the public view, while it was not done the same in South Africa. Israel is probably the last remaining apartheid state member of the UN. Now media, where does media come in play when it comes to the apartheid wall? Really, it is neglecting the issue, or basically nothing is being done about it, or the efforts had died off, and there's a great amount of help needed for those people. Media's response really, again, the issue of the wall is, you can look at it through the political safety side that Israel claims that it needs, and there is economical side, which is a destructive impact on Palestinians. So really, media's response would be, so far, as we said, it's too calm, no extended efforts to deal with the issue at all. Or maybe I just actually, yesterday was probably one of the very few days where I saw on TV that the issue had came on the news. What will be amazing is that if we spread the word, actually great media's future aid in this, because as we said before, it is the only hope for those people. They do not have any military aid, they do not have any forms of even staying in their land, rather than claiming the ones that they had already lost or even coming back to it. So increasing the public awareness is the number one priority. We need activating public roles and injecting the wall, use the various international solidarity groups, activating media role of international, regional, local organizations, a humanitarian side, and we need to clarify reality to the Israeli citizens of what is happening to their Palestinian neighbors. It would be great, of course, if we convince the Israeli government to open a culture and public institution instead of making it racist. In Seattle, and they had built a wall saying, if the Berlin Wall is down, then we need to bring the Israeli wall down, although the Berlin Wall was not an apartheid one. What we need to do immediately just to seize the destruction that's happening is stopping that wall, dismantling as many parts of it as possible to give back those villages that are being isolated, return the confiscated land to the people, confiscating them for the damages. Now, that I only talk now about the apartheid wall because it's basically one of the big issues that are occurring right now. At the same time, but I don't want you to forget that that occupation has been going for 50 years and something keeps coming up every few years.